Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day again to all you mothers. Amen. And you fathers. Amen. We're going on a little ride today. We're going to talk about Jesus, miracles and women. And maybe some of the men won't be all that comfortable with what I have to say. But that's okay. Amen. Whether you're here in this room or you're listening to us by recording. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to say some things about men and women here today, and you're going to like it. Amen. But I just want the women to keep in mind that next month is Father's Day. So go easy on the men. Amen. Don't laugh too heartily at my jokes about men. Amen. We're going to be talking. Now you laugh as heartily as you want to. Amen. I tell good jokes. Amen. Hallelujah. And you notice I never tell jokes at the expense of God's Word. We never tell jokes just to be funny around here. We're not trying to draw a crowd. I'm not a stand-up comedian. We're not trying to draw a crowd with humor. We use humor only when it will cause the Word of God to go more deeply in you. Amen? The Bible says, Solomon said, to have wisdom and knowledge, only to destroy it by folly, is for a fool. Amen? So we don't just say things to be funny up here. We say things that make the Word of God go deeper into your spirit, to bring change into your life, to bring you to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, as Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4. Amen? You know that. You know me. Amen? We're going to be talking about Jesus, miracles, and women today. Many women are unfamiliar with the Word of God, and they've mistakenly been led to believe, maybe not those in this room, but those here and by recording. I've encountered many women in the past 27 years of Christianity, the past 25 years of public ministry, who seem to believe the lie that the Bible emphasizes the dignity and the dominion of man over the dignity and dominion of woman. And that's just not true. You hear me say around here all the time, if you're a woman, you're a man. When the Bible talks about men, it's a generic term talking about all of creation. If you are a woman, you are a man with a womb. You're a womb man. So the Bible's talking about you. The Bible does not leave women out. We got all kinds of feminism trying to creep into the church today. Christian feminism. That's a lie. That's a misnomer. That's an oxymoron. Amen? I don't know where the oxy part came from, but I know where the moron part came from. Amen? Jesus always elevated the status of women. Always. Jesus was never disrespectful to a woman for any reason at any time. And some Christian men need to get a hint. Need to get a clue. Amen? Amen? Paul said, women are the weaker vessel. Yes, he did. But he was talking pound for pound, not brain for brain. Amen? You're built differently. But you're still a spirit created in the image and likeness of God. You have all the same dignity, all the same dominion, all the same authority in Christ as any man. And of course, we always like to prove that from Scripture. Amen? We don't like to say anything without giving you Scripture. Look right there. Galatians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Some women have become so freaked out, feeling that God's left them out of the Bible. Some organization has actually rewritten the Bible. And every time reference is made to God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit as He, they've taken the word He out and they put the word she in there. You don't need to do that. I need to get a look at that. Amen? Take a look at that Bible. See if they turn the book of Hebrews into the book of Shebrews. Amen? You're right there in Galatians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse 26, if you would with me, please. For ye are all. Please say all. Now, I looked that word up in the Greek for you. You know what it means? Thank you very much. Amen. It means all. Now we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, that's not talking about water baptism. That's talking about being baptized into His body, becoming a member of His body, being immersed into His body. There's seven baptisms in Scripture. We won't go into them today. Water baptism was one. Baptism into the body is another. And this is a baptism with the Holy Spirit. There's seven in Scripture. We can't go into those today. This is a reference to being baptized into the body of Christ. Amen. If you're born again as a woman or a man, you are a member of His body with equal rights, privileges, and equal covenant benefits. Amen. I'm just going to share some scriptures with you here today and comment on them, and you'll be blessed. Look what Paul said to the Galatians in verse 28. He said, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Say, we are all one.
We are all one.
In Christ Jesus. Now say it like you mean it. We are all one in Christ Jesus. See, men and women alike. Amen. And if ye be Christ, say that be me. If ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. When Scripture says man, it means womb man as well. Amen. No need to correct God. He made Himself perfectly clear. What He's provided for man, He's provided for womb man. Oh, you girls are going to love this sermon today. Amen? I can just hear Adam communicating with God in the garden. Oh, Adam. Oh, God. Adam saying to God, oh, God. Oh, God, why'd you make woman so beautiful? And God telling him, so you'd love her, Adam. And Adam asking God, but why'd you make her so dumb? And God saying, so she'd love you. I don't believe women are dumb. Amen? I married a woman who's more intelligent than me. I married an intelligent woman. You know why? Opposites attract. Hallelujah. Listen, Jesus had the most tender regard for women. It's Mother's Day. We're going to talk about women. Not just mothers today. Mothers, yes, but women. You have to be a woman to be a mother. Amen? But we don't want to leave out women who are not mothers in the natural today. Amen? We want to talk to you about women today, Jesus' miracles and women. He had the most tender regard for women more than anyone who's ever lived since. Amen? If you're a woman, you don't want to be a Muslim. If you're a man, you don't want to be a Muslim. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way. We're not putting anybody down. Those are precious people. Amen. And if God told me today, pack it all up and go live and preach in a Muslim nation, I would obey Him. Amen. Amen. But He didn't tell me to pack it up and go preach in a Muslim nation. He said, pack it up, go preach in a Catholic nation. Amen. Cape Cod. Amen. We love Muslims. God loves Muslims. But Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Amen. They treat their women like chattel. You know what chattel is? C-H-A-T-T-L-E, like a possession. Muslim laws governing the treatment of women are horrendous. And they did not come from the mind of God. Amen. We don't serve the same God. Amen. They try to tell us we do. They try to tell us that Abraham's our spiritual father. Therefore, we're all serving the same God because Abraham's their father, Abraham's our father. The father of our faith. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. Allah did not send Jesus Christ into the earth. And Allah is not Jesus' Father. Amen? We don't believe and agree with treating women like possessions, like chattel, like the lesser beings. The Bible says we're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, we do believe Paul's teachings that a man is the head of his home. But we do not believe that all men are the head of all women. I am not your head. I am your pastor, but I am not the head of your life. Amen? I can't go into your home and exercise authority there because I have no responsibility there. I exercise authority in my own home because I have responsibility there. But even when it comes to the decision-making process, Barbara and I won't do anything we're not in agreement on. Amen? I don't tell her, bless God, this is what he said we're doing. Get used to it. Amen? I say, what's he telling you? And we don't move until we're hearing the same thing. Amen? Come on, we're talking about women here today. Amen? Jesus always elevated the status of women. Never put women down. Amen? We're going to see some good things about women in the Bible here today. Amen? He always treated them with respect, great consideration. And when his disciples didn't, he always turned it into a lesson and jerked the slack right out of them. Jesus wouldn't tolerate his disciples being disrespectful to women. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Mark chapter 7. Holy Spirit, you just show me where to go today, how to do it. Any woman who ever came to Jesus with a need always got exactly what she expected. Amen? Amen? You know the Bible does not say... Oh, let me just tell you what the Bible does say. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he, she, that cometh unto God, must not only believe that He exists, but that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible does not say, without a pair of boxer shorts with little red hearts on them and a tool belt, it's impossible to please God. Did you hear what I said? Amen? Boxer shorts with little red hearts on them and a tool belt, that doesn't make you a man. That makes you a male. There's a difference. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to be... We're talking to women here today. I'm going to say something strong. I'm saying it to men everywhere who are listening. Amen? A zipper on the front of your pants makes you a male, not a man. Treating all human beings, including women, particularly women, with dignity, with honor, and respect, that makes you a man. Did you hear what I said? We're all adults here. Amen? Can I say that to you without offending you? Amen? You're not a man just because you wear a pair of pants. You're a male. Now, if you have pants on today, ladies, it doesn't make you a male. You understand what I'm saying. That's why I had to differentiate and say, because you have a zipper on the front of your pants, that makes you a male, not a man. What makes you a man is treating you, all humanity, women and children alike, with the dignity and the honor and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you're not a man. How's that? Amen? Somebody said, Pastor, you talk too plain. And I said, well, if you didn't live so plain, I wouldn't have to talk so plain. Amen? Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Look right here, the Syrophoenician. I'm just talking to you by the Spirit of God today. Amen? Some men need to get it together concerning women. And we're doing better in the body of Christ. I know I asked you to go to Mark chapter 7, but it's only the second time I told you to go. We don't go the third time. Amen. Remember? Haven't you learned anything around here yet? Hallelujah. If the pastor goes to a verse of Scripture the first time, it's a treat. Amen. Hallelujah. Some men have to get it together. I was saying, but we're doing better. I mean, I'm talking about the body of Christ. Amen. Men looking down their noses to women, I don't go along with it. Men treating women with disrespect. I make mistakes with my wife, but I apologize all the time when I do. I say, now, I shouldn't have spoken that way. I shouldn't have behaved that way. If you'll just please forgive me, I've asked the Lord to forgive me. I'm sorry. Amen? Am I working on it? Amen. Hallelujah. We're getting better in the body of Christ. But it's kind of like when you hit a skunk with the car, you know. The skunk's dead, but the stink stays around for a while. We got some work to do. Amen? Not only men in the world, in the body of Christ I'm talking about. We need to be an example of what it is to be a man to the world, men. Amen? We need to not be so stubborn and not be so prideful when it comes to apologizing to our women when we've wronged them. Amen? I'm trying to not look at you guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can be stubborn. Touche. Amen. We can be stubborn. We don't like to ask. You know, people ridicule, women ridicule men for never wanting to ask directions. Amen. That's pride that won't let you do something like that. Amen. I used to look at those when those electric lawnmowers first came out. I thought, what in the world good is an electric lawnmower with a 200 or 300 foot cord on the thing? What? And then I got to thinking about it and I realized, I know what they're good for. It's a wonderful way to find your way back to the house without having to ask directions. Just follow the cord. Amen? Men can be stubborn and prideful, and bossy and easily irritable. You know, some men that I know are bigger gossips than any woman I've ever known in my life. Bigger tale bearers than any woman I've ever known in my life. I don't believe that women are more gossipy than men. I believe gossip's a spirit and visits both men and women. Amen? Come on, men. It's Mother's Day. Help me out up here. Help me out up here. Amen? Do you know why it takes 1 million sperm to fertilize one egg? Do you know why? Because they won't stop and ask directions. It's inherent in us. You know what I'm saying? It's something we're born with. Amen. It's something we're born with, I think. You know what I mean? We think DNA means drive, never ask. Okay. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. Hallelujah. It's Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Time to get the men thinking. Look right here. Look at something Jesus did for the Syrophoenician woman in Mark chapter 7. We'll pick it up in verse 25. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and she came, and she fell at his feet. That's the first step into a miracle right there. Fall at his feet if you need something. The woman was a geek. I guess she worked on computers or something. What does your Bible say? The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. See, she wasn't a Jew. That's what's being pointed out here. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Matthew's rendition of this says the daughter was grievously tormented, suffering horribly with evil spirits. But Jesus said unto her, after she asked Jesus to come cast the spirit out of her daughter, he said, let the children, she's referring to the Jews, the children are God's first children of the Jews. They're his first choice. Because Abraham allowed Jesus to come through his loins. God formed a special covenant with Abraham and all of his offspring. Amen? Let the children, the Jews, first be filled. For it's not meet, it's not right to take the children's bread or the Jews' covenant blessings. That word bread means benefits. There's benefits for walking with God. It's not right to take the Jews' benefits and cast it unto the dogs. Did Jesus just call that woman a dog? You know he didn't. Do you realize in that day that all Jews referred to all Gentiles, all non-Jews as dogs? If you weren't a Jew, you were a dog. Now you have to keep in mind, Jesus is standing here with the boys. The big 12. The apostles of the Lamb. His 12 disciples. He wasn't calling her a dog. He was about to teach the boys a lesson. They called Gentiles dogs, particularly Gentile women, the doggiest of dogs. He's about to teach them a lesson. Jesus never called a woman a dog. I know of people taking this text of scripture and saying Jesus called women dogs. That is not what's being communicated in that verse. Hear me now. Jesus is about to teach the boys a lesson. Amen. He knew what they were standing there thinking. They're thinking, man, it's bad enough. It's bad enough. She's a woman. She's a Greek woman, and he's talking to her. They didn't even talk to them. Wouldn't even talk to them. Remember the woman at the well? They went and got Jesus something to eat. They came back. They were just absolutely astounded. He's sitting there talking to a woman. Jesus talked to anybody who listened to him. Amen? They're just astonished here that he's even talking to this dog. Well, he wasn't about to help this woman to have faith alone. He was going to teach these boys a lesson on love. That's what's going on here. Amen? Look at verse 28. She answered after he said, it's not right to take the Jews' benefits and cast it to the dog. She said, yea, Lord. Look what she did. She called him Lord. Step number two. Second thing she did right. What a humble human being. First she fell at his feet. Next she called him Lord. Yet the dogs, only the word she used is puppies. Even the puppies under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Or even the Gentiles should be able to have the Jews' leftovers. Because after all, Jesus, even if I am a dog, I'm your dog. You made me. You're my Lord. Do you see that? And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. See, because she wouldn't take no for an answer. For this saying, he was trying to provoke her to faith. He wasn't insulting her. And she was up to the challenge. Amen? She won her case. And Jesus said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone from thy daughter. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He's saying 10-4, honey. You're absolutely right. You're not a dog. In my boys here, they're absolutely wrong. Now you have to figure, those guys just stood there blown away. Not only did he talk to a woman, a Gentile woman, but he delivered her daughter from an evil spirit and corrected them for referring to any human being as a dog. That's what was going on there. Can you see that? I see it. She won her case. The Bible says, we just read it in Galatians 3:28. There's neither bond nor free, Jew or Gentile, male or female, we're all one in Christ. He just walked it out and illustrated it right there. Amen. So if you're a woman today, you need to know, just like this woman, her patience, her humility, and her faith moved Jesus. Amen? Not her gender, and not her nationality. Your faith as a woman can move God as readily and as mightily as any man's faith can move God. You see that? Hallelujah. That's what Jesus demonstrated right there. Look at, how about Mary Magdalene? Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Just going through and looking at some women in the Bible. Amen. Mary's an amazing human being. She's mentioned more than any woman in the Bible. Amen. Do you know in the book of Matthew alone, as you're going to Luke chapter 8, there's no less than 24 references to women. And just in the Gospel of Matthew, 24 references to women. Women think that they're being left out of the Bible. Just in the Gospel of Matthew, there's 24 references to women. Jesus dealing with women. Amen? God dealing with women. Let's go look and see what God did for Mary Magdalene and company. Luke chapter 8, are you there? In verse 1, just kind of going through teaching here. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope the men aren't mad at me. Amen? Still love me, guys? Amen? Just a little. Just a little. Hallelujah. I'm feeling the pressure up there. Let me take some. You know how many men it takes to change a roll of toilet paper? Don't know. It's never been done. Hallelujah. Okay. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Hallelujah. It's a scientific discovery that's about to be unveiled, I'm sure. It came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing or demonstrating the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, the boys, and with him, always with him. And certain women, please say women, women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Amen. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven demons. Amen. Listen, Mary had seven demons, and Jesus delivered her just as powerfully as he did any man. And Johanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. And Susanna, and many other women, which ministered unto him of their substance. Now, it's quite possible that Mary was a very prominent woman with prominent friends, and they all had evil spirit problems or sickness problems. Maybe Mary wasn't prominent as these women who she became connected with once she got delivered. Either way, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:2 that the rich and the poor come together in the Lord. Here we find Jesus with the Bible says a bunch of women in his entourage supporting him who had been healed of sicknesses and delivered from evil spirits. Jesus had no problem at all with women in his entourage. No problem at all. In any minister who does, it's just flat crazy. Amen? That just comes to my remembrance. You know where the word woman comes from? It comes from a Greek word that is actually to generate. Our word generator comes from the Greek word woman. Amen? Women generate life. They bring forth life. Amen? And quite frankly, if you want to get some things done, you better see the girls first. Because they know how to get things done. They know how to generate things. How to get things up and rolling and keep them rolling. Amen? You know that women make some of the best airline pilots in the world? Do you realize that? They not only make some of them, and that's a job that requires tremendous intelligence and discipline. Women have a mind for details that some men just lack. They can stay with little detail type things endlessly, where a man's mind tends to wander. Now, men make some good pilots too, but some of the best airline pilots in the world are women. But we didn't want them up flying them planes with us boys. After all, that's a man's job, not necessarily. They make some of the best factory workers in the world because they can stay with menial things for long periods of time. So they stay married to us. They put up with menial things for long periods of time. They can just outperform men when it comes to details. Hands down, in almost every case, women can outperform men in little detail things that need to be performed over and over and over again. God built them that way. That is an asset, not a liability. Come on, I'm not kissing up to you. I'm just telling you the truth here today. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus had no problem with women in his entourage, and not just because some of them had money, but because he's an equal opportunity restorer. Amen? These are women, the Bible says, he delivered from evil spirits. And once they were cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, it was hookup time, baby. He wanted them as part of his ministry. Amen? We welcome women as part of our ministry. Amen? You know why you see more women in church than men? They're out there. They won't ask directions. They're driving around. Ride with your wife. That's what Maurice does. He's here every Sunday. Who drives your car on Sunday, John? Hallelujah. See, and that's why John's here. I was wondering why these guys are so faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I ask directions now. Well, you know what I do? I look for somebody on Barbara's side of the road, and I pull over. I say, ask that guy how to, don't I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm halfway there. Hallelujah. Listen, Mary Magdalene is in this entourage. She's mentioned more than any woman in the Bible. You know, Mary, let me just read to you in John chapter. She was the, let me read to you in John chapter 20. I like Mary. Amen. I'll show you why I like Mary. In John chapter 20, if you can get over there, if you want to get over there, I'll give you a second. I wasn't going to have you turn there. Hallelujah. It's Mother's Day. We're talking about women. Amen. Although it seems like we're talking more about men than we are women. Amen. Some guys just need to wake up. And maybe not the guys in this room, but guys listening by recording. I know there's a lot of areas where I need to have my eyes open. I need to do better. And I'm wanting to do better. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you there in John? Chapter 20. Hallelujah. Red and yellow, black and white. We're all precious in His sight. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you there in John 20? Hallelujah. If you are socially, here's what's in my heart before we read this. If you are socially prejudiced, if you are sexually prejudiced, if you are racially prejudiced, if you are religiously prejudiced in any way, you're nothing like Jesus. You're nothing like Jesus wants you to be. You're nothing like what Jesus is and what you can be. I'm talking to men and women, amen. Some women have sexual prejudice problems against men, amen. Need to snap out of it, amen. Amen. That's not love, amen. If you're racially prejudiced in any way, you need to be delivered, amen. Just get used to some people, they don't like black and whites married. They don't want to see white people marry black people. Some people are real hung up on a black man being with the white woman. Others are hooked up on the opposite, are hung up on the opposite. You know, they cannot bear the thought of a black and white. I hate those terms. Black and white. You know, they're not black. We're not white. Anyway, they hate it. Christians. I'm talking about Christians in this place today. You may as well just get over it. Because the way things are going, in the next 100 years, we're all going to be coming out the same color anyway. Right. You know what I'm saying? If God didn't want us to marry and procreate and bring forth children of different colors, why did He make it possible for us to do so? Why didn't He make it impossible? Cats can't do it with dogs. Elephants can't do it with horses. Amen? But black folks can do it with white folks and have offspring. Healthy offspring that Jesus died for and will indwell if they make Him their Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. How did I get over on racism? Hallelujah. Because we're talking about prejudice. All prejudice is wrong. Women's prejudice against men, men's prejudice against women, it's not Jesus. And this racism thing, the races shouldn't marry. What races are you talking about? There's only one race. It's called the human race. You're going to go to Mars and find another race to marry to? When somebody said to me, well, the Bible says that we shouldn't be unequally yoked. Yeah, it does, stupid. And just because I'm looking at Barbara doesn't mean anything. It says not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, not with people of different cultures. God doesn't have a problem with, I hate the word, multiracial. There's only one race, multiracial marriages. We use it because we got to, what can we use that's better than that? Amen? Amen? Ethnic, thank you very much. Who said that? Thank you, John. Hallelujah. Helen told him to say it. No, she didn't. He said that on his own? That's from riding with her. Ethnic marriages, amen? Maybe I'm talking to somebody in this room here today. God wants you to be free. Maybe it's the very thing that's blocking the spout where the answer to somebody's prayer comes out. Amen? God doesn't have a problem with ethnic marriages. Amen? We don't believe in multiracial marriages, we call them? Multiracial children? We don't believe in them. They don't exist. There's only one race. There's marriage and there's children. There are not multiracial marriages and multiracial children. There's marriage in God's eyes and there's children. And we better watch out, amen? Moses' sister ended up with leprosy for cursing him for marrying a woman of a different color than his. And when she repented, she got healed. And when we repent, we'll get healed. Amen? If you're socially, sexually, religiously, or racially prejudiced, it could be the very thing that's blocking the spout where your miracle comes out. How am I doing up here today? Hallelujah. Some people would rather hear jokes. Maybe I'll tell you another one. I don't know. Look right here. About Mary Magdalene we're talking about. Mary was just an amazing human being. Amen. 16, Jesus appeared to her at the tomb. And he said to her, Mary! She turned around, saith unto him, Rabboni, or Master! And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended. He actually said, Don't cling to me. Don't cling to me. I haven't gone to the Father. I'm on my way up. Don't hang on to me. You'll end up riding with me. Some people preach this to say Jesus didn't want a woman touching him. It doesn't say touch. It says cling. I haven't gone to the Father yet. Release me. When I come back, there'll be plenty of time for hugging. Amen? I haven't ascended to my Father. But look what he told Mary. Go to my brethren. Go to my brethren. He's commissioning her to preach the resurrection. She is the first commissioned preacher of the resurrection. Don't say God has a problem with women preachers. Don't say it to me. You'll get a sermon. You'll get a free CD. This one. Amen. And say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Listen, Mary was the only one who stayed with him through the cross, stayed with him, was the first one to show up at the tomb, and the only one there, first one to witness the resurrection. First at the cross, first at the tomb, first at the resurrection. She's like the George Washington of Christianity. George was first in war, first in peace, first in the hearts of his countrymen. Did you ever hear that about George Washington? Mary was first at the cross, first at the tomb, and the first one to be commissioned to preach the resurrection. She's the first evangelist that Jesus commissioned when he rose from the dead. Now, how do you like that, boys? It's true. We better just learn to live with it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First witness to the resurrection. The boys weren't there. Where were the boys? I'll tell you where the boys were. You know where they were? They were trying to find the tomb and they wouldn't ask for directions. They were hiding, Maurice. They were operating in fear. That woman had brass, gumption, gusto, as much as any male hero or patriarch in the Bible. She stood there and watched him brutalized on that cross. She was right there at the tomb wanting to wrap him and cleanse him. And look at the horrifying way they literally ripped his body apart. She didn't run the other way because she couldn't bear to look at him. She wanted to take care of him. Amen? She was right there at the tomb. That's what she was going back there to the tomb for, to take care of his body. When she found out, she thought it was the gardener at first. When you go back and read it in context, thought she was talking to the gardener. She didn't recognize him. He was so horribly marred the last time she saw him. And now here he is, perfectly whole and healed, standing there. She thought, got to be the gardener. Until he said, Mary. And she said, her eyes were open. She said, Rabboni! And he said, go tell my brethren that I have risen. She went and told the boys. And you know what the boys said? I don't think so. That's what they did. In Mark chapter 16, I believe it's verse 11, it says, they did not believe. Oh, boys. We got to keep working on ourselves. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You get anything out of this? She was the first commissioned preacher of the resurrection. Don't let any man ever tell you. You can't preach the gospel. You can't share the gospel. You can't teach the gospel. There's no less than 17 women teachers mentioned in Paul's epistles. Did you know that? Now you do. Hallelujah. Maybe someday I'll give you a list of them. Amen. Go over there to Luke chapter 13. I want to look at the way Jesus used a woman to shame some hypocrites. Amen. This is good preaching today. Hallelujah. If you're a woman. Hallelujah. One man said amen, amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 13. Let me just say this. I want to say a word too about women preachers. I'm going to tell you a quick story before we go over here about a woman who I knew personally, Barbara knew personally, whose husband, if I told you his name and her name, you would automatically know who they were. Everyone in this room would recognize them. And I'm not going to tell you their name. So I'm going to ask you to don't even ask me after the service. Amen? Unless you're willing to hand over a small love offering. Don't even ask me, please, okay? Because I'm not trying to humiliate anybody. I'm trying to make a point. I'm not trying to put somebody down. This man, the woman's husband, was one of the greatest healing evangelists to ever hit planet Earth since Jesus. He wrote, possibly, the greatest book on divine healing that anyone's ever written. A tremendous book on how the sick can be supernaturally healed. His wife was also a tremendous evangelist with signs, wonders, following the ministry. They got into strife with one another and let bitterness grow between one another. And she became so embittered towards men that she stopped preaching the gospel to men and would only preach the gospel basically to women. God's not called anybody to do that. If you're called as a woman to preach the gospel, Jesus said go into all the world. He didn't say go into all the women. And I'm called to preach the gospel to all the world, not all the men. Amen? That woman trashed her ministry. She got involved in feminism. There's no place in Christianity for feminism. There's no need for it. If you're called to preach the gospel, preach to the world. Amen? If you're called to teach the gospel, teach the body, the whole body. She got so out of focus, she just started preaching to women, just to women, just to women. Telling women, divorce your man, get rid of him. He's no good, he's holding you back. He's keeping you out of God's perfect will. Get rid of him. Teaching people to get divorced when God said, I hate divorce. Amen? Just preaching to the women, preaching to the woman. Put a mark on her husband's ministry that he'll bear for the rest of his life unless he comes forth and repents for it. She ended up, she's a healing evangelist. With some of the most astounding signs, wonders, and miracles occurring in her ministry, yet the very thing she would get people healed of, she died of. She died a horrible death of cancer. Now, these are people we know personally. When she got all involved in that, the Lord told me that she was going to die in 5 years now unless she repented. Didn't he? 5 years later, she was gone. He told me in 1990, and she died in 1995. In the spring of 1990, he told me, in the spring of 95, she is gone. She died a horrible death. She could have been healed. But she held bitterness in her heart towards men, and she would only preach the gospel to women. Because after all, the men have been leaving out the women and just preaching to the men. Well, some men have been guilty of that. But that doesn't mean that's not a license for you to do the same thing in reverse. Amen? Maybe the men were neglecting the women. I say that they were. Amen? We're going to pray for the men first, and then we'll pray for the women. That's not God. That's not being led by the Holy Spirit. We've been negligent. I acknowledge it. Amen? But I'm working on it. Amen? I don't believe that way. I don't believe I should just preach to men. I believe I should preach to men and women. I believe that there's neither bond nor free, Jew or Gentile, male or female, we're all one in Christ Jesus. And I believe that you have the same dominion, the same authority, and the same dignity that I have in this earth. As a believer, the same authority. The devil must obey you the same way he must obey me, because greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Well, that poor old girl, man, she got all involved in feminism. She got all kinds of people. She got her daughter all goofed up and messed up. Her daughter's involved in lesbianism now and just trashed their reputation, trashed the ministry. That wasn't the will of God. The solution is to preach the gospel of love to all the world. Amen? Now, she had been abused by men in ministry. But the solution wasn't to abuse men in turn. The solution is to set the example of Jesus, step forth and preach to men and women and do it in love. Amen? So I'm just encouraging you, if you feel called to preach the gospel, to minister the gospel, don't be a dumb devil and just preach to women only or just preach to men only. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, go ye into all the world, men and women, boys and girls. Amen? Well, maybe... Hallelujah. I believe you got something out of that. Amen. That's gender bashing. There's no room for that in the body. Is this a lecture or a sermon today? It's both. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a sermon. Look at Luke 13. We'll go through it quickly. Here's Jesus using a woman to shame hypocrites. Amen? Oh, glory be to God. Wish we could have spent some more time with Mary. But you see that, don't you, before we move on? She was the first commissioned preacher of miracles after the resurrection. That's why Jesus cast those 7 demons out of her. So she could be his hands and his feet, his mouth, his eyes, and his ears. Just like you. Amen? Third time I said we're going to Luke. It's time to go there. Luke 13:10. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman. Please say woman. Which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and no man lifted a finger to help her. She was bowed together, could in no wise straighten herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he didn't even ask her a question. He called her to him and said, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." Compassion flowed through him for her, just like it flows through him for you today. He laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. What a tremendous display of pity, kindness, compassion, and deliverance. Amen. And the ruler of this, no dog here. This is a human being that he created for dominion and dignity in the earth. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, not only in the Sabbath, but healed a woman no less, and said unto the people, "There's 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day, and not a woman no less." Look what Jesus said to him. He said, "You hypocrite," that word is actually actor, "you play actor. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him to watering on the Sabbath?" See, these religious people, they treat their animals better than they treat their women. That's what Muslims do. It's okay to say it. It needs to change. Amen? Hallelujah. "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound," see, Satan is the binder, God is the looser. Amen? "The daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound 18 years, and not one of you men lifted a finger to help her, you religious hypocrites. Shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day or on any day? She's a creation of God." And when he had said these things, all of his adversaries were ashamed. They realized, you know, he's right. He's right. And all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Amen. 18 years, not one of those men, and one of those men leaders in that synagogue lifted a finger to help her. But along comes Jesus, just instantly and effortlessly sets her free, because she has a right to be free, because she's a creation of God, and she's every much a man as a man without a womb. Amen? There's neither Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male and female. In him we're all one. Isn't this good news today? Hallelujah. This is, I just want you to know what we believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Luke, back to Luke chapter 8. Hallelujah. We got a few minutes. Amen. Listen, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever you might be going through in your family, in your finances, in your body as a woman, God wants to help you. Jesus wants to help you. Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to deliver you. Jesus loves you. You know, Jesus, his last prayer, and the Gospel of John, you're going back to Luke chapter 8. I understand that. Amen? Hallelujah. And John chapter 17, 23, the last thing Jesus prayed, his last prayer in the garden included these words, "Father, let them know you love them as much as you love me." John 17, 23. He didn't just pray that for the men. He prayed it for the men and women, for his body. Let them know that you love them as much as you love me. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. That's too much for some people's thinking, for some religious thinking. Amen? He loves you in spite of who you are, where you've been, and what you've done. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. That's why he gave Jesus for you. He would have given Jesus if you were the only one who needed to be redeemed. In his estimation, you were. Amen? Well, come on now. I'm just trying to get your faith up to believe God for your miracle. Whatever you believe in God for, in your body, in your family, in your finances, in your business, whatever, on the job. God wants you to reign and rule in life. You know that the Bible says that you're seated in heavenly places at the Father's right hand in Christ Jesus? You! Red and yellow, black and white, male and female, get it right. Jesus loves all the people of the world. Jesus gives all people dominion who come to Him, men and women. It's my Mother's Day message. You getting anything out of it, Mama? Hallelujah. And I'm enjoying every minute of it. Amen. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 8. Here's a woman in verse 43 dying of a hemorrhage. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. Pick it up. Where did I say 43? Amen. 12 years. Can you imagine? Spent all of her living upon physicians. Neither could she be healed of any. And guess what, guys? There were no women doctors in those days. The guys just ripping this woman off knowing they couldn't help her. Amen. Sometimes only Jesus can help. Whew, an issue of blood, 12 years. I can't imagine it. She came behind Jesus. She touched the border of His garment. It was full of His power. And immediately, her issue of blood staunched or stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when everybody denied, "Not me, not me, not me," Peter said, and they that were with Him said, "Master, the whole multitude's touching you. How can you say who's touching you?" And Jesus said, in essence, somebody touched me not out of curiosity here. Somebody touched me by faith and pulled power out of me. Now who is this? And the woman, when she saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before Him and declared unto Him before all the people for what cause she had touched Him, thinking she had done something wrong, and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole." He said, "Baby doll, you did a good thing." And He made an example out of her in front of all the men who were saying, "It wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me." She said, "It was me." And He said, "Now that's a good thing." Here again, boys, learn something. Amen? You need something from God? Take an example from this girl. Reach out and take what you need. God said in Isaiah 45:11, He said, "Concerning the work of my hands, command ye men, me." Concerning the, listen, this is what our Father God said to us. "Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me." He meant this. Wherever you need my power to flow in your life, tell me where to direct it. I will do it for you. Quit your whining about it. Quit your bawling and squalling. Quit your hoping and your praying. Stop believing and praying. Tell me where you need my power directed in my Son's name. I will do it for you. This girl was on to something here. Hallelujah. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made thee whole." Here's a woman who's ceremonially unclean, excommunicated from synagogue services, couldn't go into the synagogue, tossed out of the woman's court at the temple, ripped off of all the money she owned by the male, all-male medical profession. Now, I'm not putting men down here today. I'm just trying to elevate women like Jesus does. Amen? 12 years suffering, waking up every morning in that mess with the kind of a problem you can't even talk to anybody about it. But it didn't stop her from reaching out for God's power, and through the laws of contact and transmission, she touched Him by faith, and the power of God flowed out of Him into her, and automatically that blood stopped after 12. Can you imagine bleeding like that for 12 years? How in the world was she still alive? No transfusion? Amen? No woman's aisle CVS pharmacy? This poor girl was suffering horribly. She reached out to Jesus automatically, instantly, effortlessly healed. Jesus said her faith did it, not His. Hers! You can do that! Amen? Don't tell me women can't preach the gospel. Don't tell me women can't tap into the power of God. Don't tell me women don't have the same authority in Christ as a man does. These scriptures are all going crosswise and contrary to that stupid carnal thinking. That's a good way to call it, stupid kind of thinking. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to learn something from this unclean little woman. Amen? Well, hallelujah, there's many ways we could go, but we're just going to close with this. Did you see here today, hallelujah, that there's neither bond nor free, Jew or Gentile, male nor female. We're all one in Christ. He loves women as much as he loves men, and men need to just get over some of that personal hang-ups. Women have as much authority in the body of Christ as any man, and I just kind of was impressed in my spirit to come and bring that word to the women who were going to be here today. You're the head, and you're not the tail. You're above, not beneath. You're not a lesser being than a man. You're equal with men on every level, except in a family, a man is the head of his household. But as I told you, Barbara and I, the Bible says we're to submit to one another in love. The Bible says my wife is to submit to me as in the Lord. Submit to me as in the Lord. Meaning, if I'm not submitting to the Word of God, she's not obligated to submit to me. I can't make her do things that are unscriptural and against her conscience. She's to submit to me in the Lord. As I follow the Word of God and obey the Word of God, she's to submit to me. Otherwise, she's not to submit to me. I just get her in trouble. I'll get her as goofed up as I am. Now, I'm not goofed up, but I'm saying if I get off the Word, she doesn't have to submit to me. But even in submitting to me, we are to submit to one another in love. And we really work in that at our house. Amen? I'm not the boss, and I don't rule with an iron fist and punch my fist on the table, say, bless God, that's the way it's going to be, because I'm the one wearing the boxes with the red hearts and the tool belt. I thought it was funny. Hallelujah. Stand up if you would, please. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask the women to come up front here before we dismiss here today. I want to lay hands on you. We won't take a long time to do this, but I want to put my hands on you. I believe I'm being led by the Spirit of God to lay hands on you for an impartation of grace, joy, wisdom, and finances. Did you hear that?